more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm about to f***
this up. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, 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 yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday. Good morning to everybody out there.
Yeah, good morning. And salute to Veronica Rain. I don't know who that is, but
she was outside.
You know her?
She gave us each a package of her music.
Yeah, I just thought that was dope because you don't really see like pretty young ladies outside of the radio station at 5 in the morning getting their hustle on. And she was like, she's Scott Storch's artist.
Right. Okay. And you know? She gave us each a box.
I don't know what that means in 2017 to be Scott Storch's artist, but you know.
It means you got to stand outside the radio station.
I just thought it was dope, though. Well, I was like, wow.
Are you going to listen to the music?
I don't know. Maybe. Might. Her presentation was good.
Was it a CD?
Yeah, she's a pretty girl. She
box.
Ran up.
Oh.
She's very box. Nice, friendly.
Okay.
Pretty young lady at 5 in the morning giving out her box in front of the radio station, all right?
So you took it?
Yes, I took her box in
Negative.
Front of the radio station. Veronica Rain. But salute to Veronica Rain. Hello, Veronica. Good morning.
Mm. All right, we got a packed show this morning. Michael Rapaport will be joining us next hour.
Oh, man, that's one of our favorite white allies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we can grab Michael Rapaport.
He's got a new book out called This Book Has Balls.
Book Has Balls.
Very interesting book. But if you're into sports, if you like sports, you'll like
it. But
this
even
book.
If you're not really that into sports, it's if more like not- he relates sports people to his life.
Okay.
So I'm not like the biggest sports fan, but it was a good book still.
Yeah, it's funny. But if it's
like he talks about people you know too, like Tiger Woods. He talks about LeBron. Like
you gotta
iconic.
You got to be in the sports to enjoy this book.
Okay.
But it is a good book though.
Now also Keisha Cole will be joining us this morning.
Yes, she actually performed on Love and Hip Hop last night. I actually watched that. It was funny because they kept panning over to Boobie and he looked depressed, like the song was about him, which it seemed like it was.
Why the hell was Safari crying on Love and Hip Hop?
Safari was crying.
I turned to Scared Famous because I wanted to watch Scared Famous because, you know, I wanted to see how Redman did as a host. So I turned the VH1 around 8:57.
Yeah, Safari was crying.
And he was crying. Like,
what was he crying about?
I don't know because he's not going to be on the show no more.
Yeah, he's going to miss everyone.
Bro, that should not be the highlight of your
life.
He's
off the show?
But then you can't cry and then be on the next show. It comes on right
bruh, Safari, come on, man. I know you're a Cancer and I know you're an emotional, but come on, you should not be crying.
Like, he really cares about Love and Hip Hop.
Yes, he was like, I really care about everybody in this room.
He was really crying.
And everybody in this room. Like, man, come on, bruh. I know people left you for dead after Nicki.
But let's
but
be
stop
honest,
it.
Yeah. Safari didn't really have no friends after Nicki, so these
he ain't got no friends now.
Well, those are his new friends, he think.
Jesus Christ, man.
He might have friends. How do y'all know if he has friends or not?
Listen, there's no reason you should be crying because you're not on Love and Hip Hop. L.A. no more.
Right.
Like, come on. Stop it. Come on.
True.
That should not be the highlight of your life, bro.
All right.
Stop.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Keisha Cole and Michael Rapaport.
Yes.
Also, front page news. We'll be talking about Yeezy.
We are going to talk about the widow of the U.S. soldier who was killed in Niger and what she had to say about that call from Donald Trump about her husband, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson.
All right. We'll get into all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in sports last night, Philly beat Washington 34-24.
Philly balling. Not like I'm watching the NFL, but Philly balling.
Philly's definitely balling out there. And tonight is the World Series, if you care, the Dodgers versus the Houston Astros. Game one is tonight. Now, let's talk about the widow of the U.S. soldier.
Maisha Johnson confirmed that the president told her that her husband knew what he signed up for. Now, she talks about the phone call that Donald Trump made to her, which made her cry even worse. She was on Good Morning America, and here's what she said about Trump calling her about her husband, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, getting killed in Niger.
I asked Master Sergeant Neil to put his phone on speaker so my aunt and uncle could hear as well. And he goes on to saying his statement as he knew what he signed up for, but it hurts anyways. It made me cry because I was very angry at the tone of his voice and how he said it. Like he couldn't remember my husband's name.
Now, Donald Trump went on Twitter and said, I had a very respectful conversation with the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson and spoke his name from beginning without hesitation. So basically, he's saying she's lying.
I mean, that's his recollection of the story. But I mean, Donald Trump has no sympathy. He has no empathy. So I can clearly see him calling, thinking he's saying that and thinking he was saying something decent.
Now, she still wants to know what happened to her husband. She said she still hasn't been able to see her husband's body, and she's still asking for answers. They are trying to get answers because one thing that the U.S. is trying to do is to provide more information to the families of fallen soldiers. Now, in the aftermath of this ambush, several key lawmakers said they didn't even know the United States had troops in Niger. They said, I didn't know there was 1,000 troops in Niger. So, got to find out what's going on in this country.
I don't even know where Niger is. Where is Niger?
In Africa.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Nigeria.
What else are you talking about on Front Page News?
We are talking about an inmate who was suing authorities. He said he refused treatment. He was refused treatment for a painful erection that lasted nearly 4 days. So Dustin Lance said that his erection started December 16th because he swallowed an unidentified pill that he got from another inmate.
Mm-mm.
And he was not taken to a hospital until 4 days later. So now he wants $5 million. He had been jailed on burglary and drug possession charges, and he feels like his constitutional and civil rights were violated.
Well, listen, there is one clear way he could have got that erection down.
How?
He could have masturbated. All right.
Or he could add sex.
That didn't work.
Into.
Hey, you know, ask another inmate what that mouth do, though.
Correct.
All right.
You didn't have to sit there. That butt do.
You didn't have to sit there with that erection for 4 days. You chose to sit there with that erection.
He took that pill, knowing what that pill was going to do.
First of all, who takes random pills from anybody?
He didn't know. No.
You shouldn't take random pills from anybody. Nonetheless, random pills from somebody in prison. All right.
Maybe they told him it was like ecstasy or something like that, Molly.
Okay. Well, you know. Clearly, you wanted that erection for 4 days. You just weren't willing to take the next steps to get rid of that erection. That's what happened. You got scared. Popped that pill. You know what I'm saying? Thought it was about to get freaking. You was like, nope, I'm getting out in a couple months. I don't want to have this stain on me, literally.
My goodness.
Brown and red stain.
All right. That's Front Page News. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night or maybe you had an erection for 4 days, whatever it may be. If you're upset you need to vent, hit us up right now.
Is that painful for you guys?
I've never had an erection for 4 days.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't had one for 4 days.
What about an extended period of time?
What's an extended period of time?
Like maybe 12 hours? Is that a long time?
Why would I wouldn't have an erection for 12 hours. I'd masturbate. I'd have sex with my wife.
I mean,
it sounds like since I've been, I know people have all kinds of dysfunctions.
I don't have that dysfunction.
Mm-mm.
But if I did have an erection for 12 hours, boy, me and my wife would be going at it all night long.
I'd be tired. I don't care. Direction or no erection. Once I get that first one out, I'm going to sleep.
Or 800-585-1051. Maybe you want to spread some positivity. Whatever it may be, call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Augustine from Miami.
Hey, Augustine, get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, I wanted to say how I'm feeling blessed today. You know, I called last week Monday about how I'd gotten fired, and the first thing Charlamagne said was, get your ass up and get a new job, and that's what I did.
Okay.
Quickly went and applied, got a new job, and I got to praise the Lord because he's blessing me this week.
Hey, last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back.
Congratulations, bro. Kenny.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kenny. Today's Kenny's birthday.
Yeah, thanks a lot. The one shot, this is you guys every day. Charlamagne, you my dude, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Angela, you're beautiful.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy your day, Kenny.
Yeah, shout out to all the Scorpios, man. Today's Drake's birthday, too. Shout out to Drake, man.
Oh, yes, Drake's birthday. Happy birthday
today
to you and
Today is a
light-skinned
holiday.
Yes, it is.
Today is a national beige holiday.
Oh, that's right. We're doing a light-skinned Drake mix all morning long.
It's the beige god's birthday.
That's right. Hello, who's this?
Why not?
Why not what?
Why not? That's my name. Why not?
Oh, all right. Why not? Get it off your chest. Why not?
Hey, I'm the rap gang getting kind of soiled, man. Envy, I know you got the plug in New York. Y'all need to holler at Fab, man. Tell him we need a mixtape, an EP.
Why do y'all keep saying that? Y'all let me know y'all don't listen to rap the way y'all say y'all do if y'all really think the rap game is whack. The rap game is in one of the best positions it's ever been in right now.
He wants boom bap. He's from New York. How old are you, bro?
25.
He's a New York head.
That is not boom bap at 25.
No, it's not, but that's what he wants to hear. Well, you know Fab and Jadakiss is supposed to be releasing an album on Halloween, so we'll see if that comes out.
Yeah, we need it. We need it, man.
All right, hopefully that comes out. Hit Fab and hit Jadakiss's Instagram. Tell him we need it.
If you like Boom Bap, go listen to Rhapsody's Layla's Wisdom then. Why are you laughing? I'm being dead serious with you.
No, it ain't the same.
How you know you ain't listened to it yet? See, that's what I'm talking about with Negroes. Negroes always denouncing stuff they ain't never heard. How you gonna tell me how it sound if you ain't even listened to it? It ain't the same. You don't even know. You ain't listen to it.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy. Yeah.
Maggie.
Yes.
Now, what's your problem with eating butt?
What?
It's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. I don't know where that came from.
She wants us to stop talking about eating butt, guys.
Well, why are you calling up here talking about eating butt if you want us to stop talking about eating butt?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the rumors yesterday because Gabrielle Union talked about it.
Today is National Crazy Day, and you sound crazy.
A beautiful girl like that.
What's wrong with her? Why she can't sexually be free and eat butt if she want to?
One foot and you got crap in your mouth. I mean, what?
I'm sure you do something nasty in the bedroom.
Excuse me?
I'm sure you do something nasty that other people might think is nasty in the bedroom.
There is nothing that could be more nasty than eating out of somebody's ass.
What's your name again? What's her name, Natalie?
Maggie.
This is the thing with Maggie. Maggie knows how her butt smells on the regular, so she think everybody else's butt smells the same, okay? Some people thoroughly wash their ass, Maggie.
Nothing to do with it.
You never ate butt before, Maggie?
No, I have never.
Do you suck toes?
Well, I've never done that. I mean, I wouldn't be so averse to that, but I've never done it.
What are you going to have for breakfast?
I don't know. Either grits with cheese or Raisin Bran.
That's what butt tastes like. Raisin Bran. A lot of fiber.
Maggie, do you even have a boyfriend or a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have a man.
All right.
Well, go ahead and go eat his butt. It tastes like grits and cheese and Raisin Bran all at the same time.
There you go.
I'll pass.
It's the texture of it, the fiber. Have a blessed day, Maggie.
Goodness. Trav.
What's up, Envy?
What's up, bro? Oh, man, this is Trav.
What's up, sis?
Hey, what's up, Charlamagne?
What up, sis?
Oh, hey, Trav. Get it off your chest, Trav.
Well, I want to talk about Angela Yee. Because we need to drop one of Clue's bombs for Angela Yee real quick, one time for the one time, please.
How you just going to drop a bomb? Go ahead, Trav.
So, Friday, she was talking to Maino, and Maino had asked Yee a question. She was talking about how people be going through people's social media, how not to argue with people on social media. And Yee had subliminally basically said something about basement booty K. Michelle. And Maino had asked her, like, well, you know, when they see you, are they going to do anything about it? And Yee was with the quickness. She was like, nope. So I just want to drop one of the clues boss Angela Yee.
Trav, you made up a whole story in your head.
Yeah, that was a reach. That was a reach, Trav.
You're so messy, Trav.
We were just talking about social media and how people pop a lot of ish on there. Me and everybody was talking about it, and I said in real life.
I remember you was talking about Yee on the low. It's fine.
Trav, you so messy.
Trav, you old messy bottom you.
Thanks for calling, Trav. Trav is crazy. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us at any time. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about a woman who is revealing that she and her husband of 10 years are getting divorced. Find out the reason why. Also, Tyrese is done. And when I say done, he's done bashing The Rock.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
With
Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Jeannie Mai has been married for 10 years, and her and her husband, Freddie, always have seemed
so happy together.
She's from The Real.
Okay.
She's one of the hosts on The Real. And they've always seemed super happy together, great relationship, 10 years in.
Mm-hmm.
But now they revealed last week that they are splitting up. And she went on The Real and opened up about what was going on in their marriage to cause this impending divorce. Here's what she said.
He's the best man I know. I married him because he's like my dad. He's very loyal, very compassionate, so funny, an awesome guy. And in our 13 years of being together, there was never any lies, no betrayal, no cheating, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
The problem is that he wants to have kids and she doesn't.
Why they ain't play that clip?
I don't know.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm like, what I miss?
My goodness.
That was who produced this part of the show? Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a tough one. You've been together for 10 years now. You want a child and your wife says no, so y'all just split
up? I don't
want
to talk to y'all about it because I ain't heard her say it. I'm not even participating in this.
That's a tough one.
Jesus Christ. How y'all produces y'all really have this
But she's
one
always been very open on the show about the fact that she didn't want to have kids and he did.
They've been together 13 years, though. No problems. Everything is great.
Right.
Great guy, no issues.
How y'all come to this conclusion? I hear her say none of that. I heard her say he's a great guy. She's like her dad. He's loyal. What are y'all talking about right now?
Well, she's always talks about it on the show that's the reason, the thing that they've been.
She always talks about it. Why the producers didn't have the clip in of her always talking about it?
Listen, imagine it.
I thought it was going to be in there, and I was shocked.
That's disgusting. Sorry that y'all had to hear this, listeners.
All right, Colin Kaepernick is shopping a book deal. Now he is. Been behind the scenes taking meetings with publishers, and he's, you know, I guess it's going to be all that information because he hasn't been doing interviews about what his life has been like since the whole NFL alleged collusion grievance that he has. So,
well, how long is it going to take for this book to come out?
I was thinking the same thing.
I need Colin to make a statement now. I need Colin to get everybody back on message, even though I think people are getting back on message now. And basically, what I'm talking about when I say back on message is why he initially kneeled in the first place,
right?
Yeah,
all right. Well, I guess you can read the book. Tyrese said he is done bashing The Rock. It's been quite some time because obviously he's mad that The Rock is doing the Fast and Furious spinoff of Just Hobbs. Now he said, I know I've been on one lately. I know it all feels reckless and like it's a lot. And for that, I understand to my fans and supporters and folks who may have decided not to support, my bad. I just so happen to be different. If you're a new fan and supporters, you're fairly unaware of my activism. Me being very vocal about politics and more importantly, me not being the guy that do too well with bullies in business, online or in life. Someone said to me one thing about Tyrese's timeline, no today is ever the same. It's true. I try my best to be respectful and honorable, but sometimes you just got to cave a chest in or two, then go back to smiling and doing you after. So he said, I still feel a way about our fans and outpouring of disappointment in Dwayne for agreeing to a spinoff, knowing how it was going to directly affect the fans of 16 years and his immediate cast. But he's done with all of this drama online.
Did Fast and Furious producers lean on Tyrese and say, look, if you want to be in Fast and Furious 17, you're going to shut all of this up on social media, buddy.
It's probably you. Charlamagne is hard on Tyrese, by the way.
I'm not hard on Tyrese. If I claim you as a friend and we having conversations, I'm just going to be honest in our conversations. That's just the truth to me.
One day I'm going to write a book called the Group Chat, and I'm going to show you all Charlamagne's replies to Tyrese.
Because Tyrese was on some BS yesterday in the group chat.
I'm
not going to reveal that information. When he comes up here, we can talk about it. We not going to talk about it right now.
All right. now, I want to send some love and prayers out to Combat Jack. Combat Jack hosts a podcast and the Combat Jack Show. And he also has the Loudspeakers Network. And he has announced that he does have colon cancer.
Damn, man. Drop on the clues bombs for Combat Jack. Love you, my brother. Prayers are definitely up for you.
Now, yeah, he posted absolutely on Twitter, Internet's what's up? It's your man, Combat Jack. In 7 years of podcasting, I've never missed an episode. I got hit with some real-life ish. I was recently diagnosed with colon cancer. I was rushed to the hospital, had some pretty severe surgery. I'm on the mend right now. I'm about to jump on this journey to health with chemo and alternative medicine. So he started off in this business as an entertainment lawyer and then turned to podcasting and has been doing this for 7 years.
Combat Jack is a great guy. I need to go to the hospital and see him, but I am very bad with stuff like that. Hospitals,
me too.
Funerals. Me too. It's hard for me to go see people when they're in that state. Very hard.
But I would love to talk to him because I want to know how he knew, you know? Because sometimes we just don't know what made him go to the hospital to check it out. Like, that's what I want to really know so we can, you know, inform a lot of the brothers out there.
That's not my story to tell. But, yeah, salute to Combat Jack. God bless that brother, man.
Absolutely.
Great dude.
All right, now, if you watched Love & Hip Hop Reunion yesterday, you saw there was a heartbreaking scene. Now, a lot of things happened on the show. Shout out to Keisha Cole, who performed also. But the most heartbreaking scene was when Safari.
Are you crazy?
Broke down crying.
These tears were so trash.
Because he was going to miss his family. From Love & Hip Hop Hollywood. Check it out.
I want to say it without crying.
You okay?
Oh, God. I hate you.
You all right? Okay. Yeah. Don't forget.
I just want to say, like, I really appreciate everybody who's here. Y'all are an amazing set of people. I really love y'all. I'm going to miss y'all. And I appreciate y'all.
You crying because you won't be on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood no more?
Now, the good news is he will be returning to New York. So he will be on Love & Hip Hop New York.
So what you crying for? You know you about to be on Love & Hip Hop New York. So why are you crying? Because you're not on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood no more. That is so lame.
His family there.
This should not be the highlight of your life, Safari.
You got to think. He ain't got no friends. He was with Nicki.
How
for so
do you
many
know
years.
He has no friends? Stop
I'm
saying
telling
that.
You, he didn't really have no friends. He was with Nicki. Nicki really didn't let him leave the crib.
Friends don't let friends wear fur coats.
He has
Listen,
friends.
Friends don't let friends wear fur coats no, when it's 90 degrees out.
This is his new family. This is his family. It's been his family for the last couple of years.
That is whack.
Shout out to Safari.
It's Love & Hip Hop Hollywood.
It's his family only when they're filming.
It's a pit stop in life. Okay, Jesus Christ.
And you can also catch him on Scary Famous, which came on right after.
And he has new family members.
Oh, all right, God. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. When we come back, Michael Rapaport will be joining us.
Yes, indeed.
Rapaport.
All right, he has a new book. You've probably seen him in numerous movies, and we'll kick it with him when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Oh, man, one of our greatest white allies. One of the best assholes on the planet.
Next to you, yes.
Yes.
Michael Rapaport.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's funny you call me ass because you are notoriously. and I think that's like a kinship because I think we like sort of game recognizes game and like sort of antagonistic personalities and all that stuff. But if
you use your powers for good, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that if you use your power, I think you have to sort of get to know your powers and then sort of use them for good.
Yes.
I think you've done. And I think that, you know, I've done, but it just sort of fell into it with like, you know, the videos and. You know, that recently, because of all the... I never cared or thought twice about politics, ever, at all. Never at all.
Until it was a state of emergency.
Why. Yeah, because this is why. You don't care. You just speak your mind, and most people might get a little scared if they're going into acting or doing movies or things like that.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. And the thing for me about, like, where we are at politically, and it's Trump and his whole crew, his wife, his kids, his daughters, they're all guilty. As far as I'm concerned, he's put our back against the wall. And I think he's made even like the minute problems into like it's him. It's like him versus everything. So like the kneeling, which started off with the police brutality as opposed to it's become like we got the bigger problem is we need to get this guy out.
Right.
Before we can even start thinking of the smaller problems. You know, as a New Yorker growing up here in New York City, you know, I don't care if Donald Trump was a Democrat. To the fifth power, he wouldn't have won New York anyway.
Right.
Like you can't win your own city because we grew up watching him.
Right, we know.
We've known him. I've seen him at puffy parties in the 90s. Like I've seen him chasing skirt. Mm-hmm. I've seen him on TV. You know he's a three-card Monty player, 40-second Times Square dude. And Mike Pence is the dude going, you lost $20? Like, he's his little hustler dude, and Steve Bannon was his other dude. And then they run off and they take... He's a dog... Just like De Niro said, Robert De Niro warned us last year, and everybody got open. He said he's a dog, he's a con, he's a liar, he's a mutt. I like to punch him in the face. And everybody was like, oh, my God. And what he said was right.
Yeah.
And as bad as I thought it was going to be, and I imagine most people, he has overexceeded how bad he could possibly be. And he's lowered the bar, I think, going forward of the respect of the presidency. Because let's say Joe Schmo... Democrat and it wins next time. The white crackers, who, in my opinion, as racist as Donald Trump is,
Before you say that, people are mad at Charlamagne.
Good.
Using it in the right way.
You know what they shouldn't be mad. And when people say, what do you say, crackers? I'm saying the flavorless white.
Unseasoned chicken.
Unseasoned bland chicken. You know, the rebranded, you know, racist, you know. Like, and the people, and as racist as Donald Trump has proven as he is, the white crackers that voted for him, he looks down upon them even more than he does the blacks, the Mexicans, and everybody else. Mm-hmm. He thinks they're the dumbest of all, and they're the ones cheering for him, and he's placating them and all that. This guy and his whole group, all of them, and I start with his wife, too. She's guilty. His kids are guilty. Mm-hmm. His daughter's guilty. That America's leading homophobe, Mike Pence, is guilty. They're all guilty. Mm-hmm. I mean, if his wife had any ounce of decency, she would leave him now.
Right.
And then she should run for president. She has no pride, no self-respect. His daughter, nothing. All of them. They're the lowest form. And he's the ringleader, and everyone around him is just as bad.
The best thing I like about Michael Rapaport just now is that when I grew up down south in South Carolina, my white neighbor would call the prejudiced racist white people crackers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make that distinction when you are a white ally. Yes, it's okay to call the white people who deserve it crackers.
Period.
Yeah.
And you know, the only white people that get offended by you saying crackers or confused by me saying crackers are the crackers.
That's it.
Those are the only ones. Like, it's not about color. It's like the soulless white, whatever you want to
devil.
Call it, the devils, yeah. These dumbasses in Alabama that are sitting up there watching this animal. The craziest thing about his speech, that hour and 15-minute speech in Alabama, the famous, you know, get up, you son of a bitch speech, he spoke for, you guys talk live on the radio, you just gave me water.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him speak for an hour, and I think it was an hour and 15 minutes. He didn't break a sweat, and he never once even drank a sip of water. He's a savage. Donald Trump is a savage. Yo, Charlamagne, you guys do the radio for an hour and 15 minutes.
Right.
You take 20-minute breaks.
Correct.
You go take a pee.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
You're drinking water.
Right,
this
right.
is an animal.
Right.
He didn't break a sweat, and he didn't take a sip of water. That's a savage. That's not a human.
You get nervous at all? Because you do so much Trump rhetoric, which is true. But, you know, it got to be a backlash, or you don't care.
You
or
know,
have you had backlashes? So
I've had backlash. It's on the internet. I haven't had anybody, you know, approach me in real life. You know, my wife, she gets nervous about that, and I don't even want to put that out there. As far as, you know, Instagram and, you know, DMs and, you know, people talking all that, I'm like, yo, you're in my DMs. Like, you're a dude.
Right.
In my DMs. You know, so none of that bothers me. I mean, I don't think about it that much. I mean, it's crossed my mind because pretty much my wife, she's like, you know, you gotta, you know, and tone it down, and you know, like she gets nervous just about that because you never know when you could strike a nerve with a crazy person.
You survived the 70s and 80s in New York. You'll be fine.
Oh yeah, New York. I feel more safe here than I do anywhere in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like walking the streets in New York, I feel safer here than I do walking my dog in California just because of the way the layout. Because in New York, you know, God forbid you get into something, like you're around people. In LA, you're like, in the nice neighborhoods, you're just there. It's you and whatever that situation is.
All right, we got more with Michael Rappaport when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Michael Rappaport in the building. Charlamagne?
So you wanted to be in the NBA.
I wanted to be in the NBA. I wanted to be in the NBA.
You wanted to be Larry Bird at first.
I wanted to be in the NBA. My whole life, that's like kept me out of trouble growing up, because like I wasn't really into girls until I was like 16. I wasn't into girls until I got some, but I wasn't chasing girls and any of that, because like I was like, I'm gonna be in the NBA, so you don't smoke, you don't drink, you know, you just like mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to do, and that I didn't even come close to that, but that had me. I had a goal,
mm-hmm.
so it was a good thing.
You said not even close, so you couldn't, you weren't that good in ball.
I mean, I could play,
okay.
But you know, when you get to especially in New York in the 80s and the 90s, like, you know, I grew up around like dudes that could play. Kenny Anderson,
right.
Malik Sealy, you know, nameless dudes that were like, just they could play. And you know, when you get to be 16, like I was good when I was like 11, 12, 13, 14, but then you start to get like people are like 6'4" and this dude's 6'6" and this dude's, you know, and like there's the gap changes quick when you get to around 14, 15, and I knew I was just not at that level, but mm-hmm. You know, I always played, and it kept me out of trouble. And growing up in New York, playing ball in the streets, and where I wound up playing, because I'm from Manhattan, but, you know, I was the best in my neighborhood. So then when I started going to Brownsville, started going to Harlem, playing ball, like, at 12, it opened my whole world up.
And it was such a different skill set.
Different skill set, but different worldview.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm from Manhattan, and my best friend is from Howard Projects in Brownsville. And when you're 12 and you go out there, and this is 82, and it is the treacherous 80s, and it's, you know, like, they would laugh at me because when gunshots would go off, I'd be like, what the f-? You know, and no one would, it was,
everybody,
people were
just keep on playing ball.
Immune to it.
Right.
And I'm like, what the, you know, like, as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you're like, that's shocking. But just all the stuff that I got to see going around New York City playing ball, I'm blessed to have that, and it informed me, and it informed who I am, and that with, you know, growing up around hip hop and all that stuff. It as I get older, I really look back on it, and I'm so proud and fortunate that I had that exploration, and that my parents were like, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. You know, like, they kind of wanted me out of the house.
What got you into acting?
When I was 19 and I knew I wasn't going to be in the NBA, and I had gotten into like my closest thing to like really, really bad trouble. Like, I got into a bad fight. and, you know, I was with bad people. And, like, you know, my father said, you know, I called him from the hospital. I was in the hospital, Brookdale Hospital in Brooklyn.
Oh, my goodness.
It was terrible. And he said, you know, and I remember it. He said, you know, I'm afraid the next time you call me, someone's going to say you had a bullet in your head. And I was just like.
Well, that wouldn't be you calling then.
Dad, I got a bullet.
He's a somebody.
But he, you know, I could tell, yeah. You know, and I was like, I got to get my shit together. And I had always been a shit talker. I'd always loved
acting. You did stand-up comedy first.
That was the first thing I did. Mm-hmm. So I, like, went to L.A., started doing stand-up, and then that segued me into acting. And as soon as the very first time I read Sides, the very first time I read a scene, that came more natural than anything. I had any basketball I had shot, and I practiced for hours playing ball. But as soon as I started acting, I was
you're natural.
It was like fish to water.
You know what I always wanted to ask you?
Yes.
Playing Remy in Higher Learning.
Yes.
Did you hate the way that people perhaps perceived you after that? Like, because it is an acting role.
Yeah.
You got to explain to people his character if they don't know
it's
you.
He's a skinhead.
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 I hated you back then.
Yeah.
The complete opposite of who you are as a real
person.
You
made me believe you.
Yeah. First, as an actor, I was like, this is it. This is a dope part because I knew it was totally opposite for me. And, you know, and being around Ice Cube and Busta Rhymes and Omar Epps, and, like, we were all just young, and they had no idea who. And, they, you know, it was kind of like a sort of church and state on that set. It was like the skinheads, and it was like, you know, Regina King, Cube, and Busta Rhymes, and Omar Epps, and they're smoking weed, and I'm in my trailer, like, you know, reading Mein Kampf, and, you know, like, getting into my character. I'm like, but I want to hang out with these. I'm in here by myself, like, isolated. But I was a little concerned about that, you know, being an issue. But the craziest thing about Remy is that 99% of the time, in any hood, in any part of the country, to this day, people will be like, yo, Remy, what's up? Like, they love that character. Mm-hmm. So it worked out good. But I definitely was like, had my head on a swivel when the movie came out because I was like, I don't want people to think
that you're really a skinhead. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
really a skinhead, you know? Like,
did you have to, like, meet any skinheads? Because I know sometimes when you prepare for a role to get into character, like, how do you even get into that character?
I didn't meet any skinheads. I read a lot of books. I watched a lot of documentaries and just busted my ass. And John Singleton, just, you know, gave all of us the freedom to do our thing. And you know, the crazy thing about that movie is Tupac was going to play the Omar Epps part. Mm. And Leonardo DiCaprio was going to play my part. And I was going to play the older skinhead. And then Tupac, I think they talked about this in that Tupac movie. Tupac got arrested and the film couldn't be financed because of that. Mm. And then he obviously pulled out. And then Gwyneth Paltrow was supposed to be in it too.
Wow.
So Pac pulled out and then Leonardo pulled out and then Gwyneth Paltrow pulled out. And then, you know, me, Omar, and the rest of us, you know, came in and parts were sort of switched around and then Cube. And
it's a pretty good B-team, though.
Pretty good B-team.
Pretty good B-team.
No doubt.
Now, White Famous, you play a role named Teddy.
Yes.
Have
you seen it yet?
Yes, I watched all three episodes. I think it's funny.
Thank you.
Angelique told me it was whack.
I only saw the first episode.
She saw the
first.
But I thought it was
whack. Angelique said it was whack?
I saw the pilot episode, and I was very confused at first while I was watching it because I felt like some of the script was a little bit over the top.
Uh-huh. But you got to keep watching.
I get it totally now.
Come on, Angela. We're at episode 3. It's funny.
Right.
The stuff is funny.
Do you know anybody like Teddy in Hollywood? Somebody who plays those type of mind games and tries to manipulate people?
Oliver Stone was wild.
Yeah.
He's sort of in the news now with all this Harvey Weinstein stuff. But he was, you know, in the Natural Born Killers days and, you know, the JFK days and those movies. Like, he was apparently, like, closest what I've heard to that.
Gotcha.
But I've never worked with anybody that's done that. I've never seen anybody do that. I've seen directors be a little, you know, frustrated or a little volatile, but never anything that, like, even mentionable, you know, like, memorable.
All right, we got more with Michael Rapaport when we come back. Don't move. Here's French Montana with Unforgettable. That was French Montana with Unforgettable. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Michael Rapaport is here. Charlamagne?
Is that whole White Famous concept still a thing? Like black guys wanting to be white famous?
I think white guys want to be black famous.
Yeah.
Like, black, you know, being black famous is you know, where it's at in Hollywood now. But, I mean, I think the whole thing with White Famous and the show White Famous, it came from a Jamie Foxx skit or a bit. You know, he had gotten a certain level of fame, and he was like, you know, I want to get white famous. It was essentially like for crossing over.
Gotcha.
Right.
But I think, I mean, there's always going to be, you know, mixes and melders. But, you know, I say, in my opinion, just what's depicted on film and TV today, as far as sort of having it passed around a lot. I think we're in a better place than we've ever been.
Or,
you know, like as far, I mean, there is black people on TV. There's black people in movies like never before.
Hip hop's the number one genre of music.
It's been the number one genre for a long time. And, you know, the music is important and the music is dope. And, you know, I know I get, you know, I know you guys probably stay away from like that conversation of like, what's whack, the mumble rap. And, you know, I remember.
No, we don't. We like to have it.
Do you? Oh, really?
Yeah, I love
to have it. You know, I mean, like, hip hop to me is so f***ed up right now.
I don't think so, man.
Really? First of all, it starts from the production.
Mm-hmm.
The beats. You know, when you talk to Large Professor, when you talk to Marley Marl, when you talk to Premier, like Q-Tip, mm-hmm. like these guys were really, truly artists, craftsmen.
Mm-hmm.
I think now because you can literally make a song.
It's and too accessible.
It's
think?
So accessible and you could put it out so quickly. But when you first came out, and not to say that it's better or worse, but, you know, there was like when you first put out your first, it was make it or break it.
Right.
Because if the first time either Red Alert was going to hear it or Russell Simmons was going to hear or Mr. Magic was going to hear, it had to be a banger. That was going to get broken. You were never going to be heard from again.
Right.
So there was like my blood, sweat and tears. My life is in this beat. My life is in that rhyme. And I think now it's so easy, and it's like, you know, you could put out a diss track today, and then like, and then the next day put out another diss track, and like if that doesn't work, I'll put out another diss track. And the sound of the music is, and you know, like in the 80s, the 90s, in the platinum era, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it was like New York had a distinct sound, Atlanta had a distinct sound, LA came with their, you know, Ghetto Boys they came with their. And it was like everybody was dope. Now it's like you got dudes from New York speak with Southern accents.
With that.
I'm like, what
yeah.
the f*** is going on here? Like, obviously, there's good people. There's the Kendricks. There's the J. Coles. You know, like, there's people, but
Chance
it's like...
Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, there's...
Rhapsody. Then you still got the older artists who putting out great records. Like, Jay-Z put out 444 this year. Wu-Tang put out a great new album.
Their album is dope.
Yeah.
But even Hov, and I know I'm probably... This is probably real dangerous. And Hov is my number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. After that first week of listening to it and that, you know, I'm not black, I'm OJ, okay. Who's rocking that?
Me. 444 is a great album.
Are you
Mike.
Playing? But there's no bangers on it. It's Jay-Z. Listen.
Family Feud.
It's
I
like
get what you're saying,
though.
Know?
It's
a whole body of work,
it's
though.
Not that type of record. You're yeah. looking for a radio record or a banger to hear.
I need
this
is
teaching.
But this is Hov. Like, you could teach me over some fly shit. Like, I want to rock in the, like, I don't want to be, like, to me, and this is, like, this is sacrilegious because I f*** with Jay-Z just as much as everybody. I love
right.
him.
Right.
He's the quintessential, but for me, Jay-Z, like, to put out a record that doesn't have that boom bap, that soul, that funk.
It does, though.
Come, it's like a Flowetry record, Charlamagne.
No, it's not. Stop,
it's like a
Michael,
Jill Scott
stop.
Record. You can
no,
literally
no, no.
have Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, or Flowetry.
No,
sing
stop.
On those beats.
No.
There's no smackers.
So you're saying it's the beat.
For me, like, with Jay-Z, like, I don't want to hear about your family problems. I don't give a f*** about none of that TMZ. Like, you can kick it, and if you're going to kick it, but at least kick it over some smackers. Like give me one smacker. If you want to slow it down, it's a teaching album. I get it. We're in a political state. He's older. But can I get one smacker?
What's your favorite Jay-Z record? Then I can get a better gauge of what you're saying. What's your favorite Jay-Z record?
Where I'm From, Dead Presidents.
Okay.
Where I'm 99 from, Problems. Like, you know, Dead Presidents to me is probably like, just like that. Like, to me, that's quintessential New York. But the list goes on and on. Lucifer. I mean, there's tons, but I need a smacker.
Marcy Me is the gentrified version of Where I'm From.
I know. It's totally.
It is.
It's
it
just
is.
True. Like, literally, like, you could give Jill Scott that. She could sing on those beats, on every one of those beats.
So what did you think of Eminem's freestyle at the BET Awards?
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. It was whack.
Let me give my opinion, okay. not one of yours.
All right.
I thought it was, the one of the best things about it was that there was no beat.
Yeah.
So it was just like focused on his words. The thing about Eminem, and listen, I love Eminem. I wouldn't put him in, like, as far as, like, his songs, I don't put him in my top 10. As far as a skill level,
he's lyricist.
A technician, he's sick.
Okay. Absolutely.
But for me, as a political statement from him, mm-hmm. now, being a white dude, a white rapper who's been very aware of who his fan base is, it was good that he was, like, saying, like, yo, don't f*** with me if you're f***ing with him.
Right.
So, like, you know, like, as far as that, so that I thought it was dope. So as far as a political statement, which is obviously what
messaging
it was.
Messaging was great.
Terrific.
But lyrically and the technical stuff, I've heard Eminem be way better.
Totally agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I think it was needed, and the way he did it on the platform and the fact that he did it at BET.
With no beat.
With no beat, and he scaled it down. So it's like, there's no beat. You're not going to misconstrue anything I say.
Right.
Like, I'm going to make it very clear, very slow, and I'm laying it out.
It's a simple, direct message.
And it's needed because, you know, the more, like the more, like, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, Kristaps Porzingis, the Leonardo DiCaprio's, the George Clooney's, like, because people are like, why do you say that? Are you afraid? I'm like, people are like, why do you make these videos on Instagram? Why aren't we all making videos on Instagram?
You got to use your privilege to combat prejudice.
Why are we not all making videos? Like, all of us, Gwyneth Paltrow, all the whitest, if you have a fucking soul and you have a sense of self and you have compassion for all of us, everybody should have a camera and be like, fuck you, fuck everybody about you. Like, there's nothing funky about you.
Right.
So, like, when you ask me that, I'm like, I don't understand. Like, why am I the only one doing it? You know, as far as, like, actors, white actors, right. You know, I don't think twice about it, so.
Now, Dan Levitard accused you of wanting to be black.
Yes. It's not the first time.
Have you ever wanted to be black?
No, I've never wanted to be black. I've never wanted to be black. You know, it's a funny thing because, you know, first of all, Dan Levitard, that fat donut-eating...
I was going to ask you if you still got beef with him, but that answered my question.
Yeah, no, him, his whole crew, he got his little producers, you know, like, he accused me of that. He's whack, he's corny, he's in Miami, he's banged up on bath salts and all that. I don't think twice about that. Dan Levitard is a clown, and he's the old regime. Like, his days are numbered, like, no one gives a and he always have his little Miami but he's, you know, he's whack.
Are you ever disappointed when you meet some of these athletes that you really look up to? Like, I know you talk about meeting LeBron in the book and, you know, meeting different people. Have you ever been like, man, I love this guy, and then I met him?
I've never asked any athlete friend that I've met for tickets. I don't ask for sneakers. I barely even, like, Dr. J and Magic Johnson, I asked them for a picture. And the thing that happened with LeBron, and I talk about in the book, is he out of all the athletes and celebrities I've ever met, my kids have met everybody. And, you know, they don't get impressed by anybody because their father's the coolest they know. So when they ran into LeBron, he dissed my kids. Like, he gave them the Heisman and turned his back to them. And I had heard later on that a friend of a friend, you know, had possibly slept with a friend of his friend, and maybe he correlated me with my friend.
That's a long string of events.
And right. It has nothing to do with a 10 and 8-year-old. Like, right. They ain't trying to get a selfie. They ain't asking
you. Yeah, don't front on the kids.
Just give them a pound and a smile. Don't play me and my kids. And out of all the athletes, out of all the celebrities, out of all the rappers I've ever met, especially with my kids, that was the only motherfucker that ever did that. And wow. I was like, hell no. And I, you know, so whatever. But as far, you know, obviously he's the best. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, all the shenanigans that he's done and, you know, the big three and all that, I think he's really fucked up the NBA. The NBA will never be the same for me. And you see how many big threes there are this year. And Kevin Durant, who at first I was like, why is he doing that? He just had to play catch up with what LeBron James did. And that's why I thought it was so beautiful when they cracked their ass last
year. So you don't mind that Kevin Durant did that?
I think I don't mind that any of them do it now because they're all sort of catching up with what he's done. Mm. You know, this friends and family AAU banana boat. But let me tell you something. I appreciate you guys having me up. I honestly didn't know, like, what to expect because, you know, it gets so crazy up here. But I appreciate the support. I appreciate, you know, you having me up here, and I'm a fan. And
you're a friend of ours.
Thank you. And
every
I didn't
time
know
I see you, I tell you, when you did the big three, I said, you got to come up here. Yeah. I tell you all the time.
For sure, for
you're
sure.
You're always invited. You got to come up here more.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And give that 444 another listen, man.
I'll give it another listen.
You'll like it.
I'll give it another listen. No disrespect to Hov. I'm more concerned about saying that about that record than I am about Trump.
Yeah, Tata still might pepper spray you.
Tata still might get you.
No more 40-40 for you, man.
Marcy Projects, I gotta stay out of here.
All right, there you have it. It's Michael Rappaport. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now let's get to the rumors. Let's talk R. Kelly.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it.
All right, now in Rolling Stone, there is an extremely long article about a woman, DJ Kitty Jones. She was a DJ on a radio station in Dallas when she met R. Kelly, and she gives her whole account of her experience living with R. Kelly. Now, she starts at the very beginning, which is where she met him. She said she used to go to all of his shows. She was disappointed one day she couldn't go to his show, but the good part was that she was setting up for the after party for the radio station. She was at 97.9 The Beat in Dallas. They were sponsoring the after party, so she knew she would meet him there. She said she did see him, and she said, I'm so upset. This is one of the first concerts I've ever missed. And he responded, well, you've seen one, you've seen them all. She said he then invited her to the next stop on the tour, and they exchanged information. She actually texted him from the bathroom, and he replied saying, "Always call me Daddy. Don't ever call me Rob." Now, later on, he called her to ask where she had gone, and then he sent her a text message that said, "Send a pic." And after that, that's when everything started. It was a 2-year relationship, and there were all kinds of rules. She was, I think, 33 at the time.
Hard to believe R. Kelly would mess with an older woman.
Right, so...
But I have no reason to believe she's lying.
Or she, you know what? She was 27. Maybe she's 33 now.
Does she look young?
Yeah, she was 27. Yeah, she looks... I mean, she don't look like a kid. She looks like an adult. You can see her if you have Revolt TV. Now, she talks about basically all the rules that he had, where she had to wear baggy clothes all the time. She had to call him Daddy. She wasn't allowed to look at other men. She always had to have her head down. She actually left her job, her career, her DJ job. She sold her car, everything. She had a kid, too, by the way. She has
by
a child.
By R. Kelly?
No.
Oh.
She had a child at home and left her
That's
child
picture,
and
right
did
there.
All of that to go and move in with R. Kelly.
Did she lie to R. Kelly and tell her she was 15?
No.
No.
He knew what she did. He knew she was a DJ at the radio station. He knew she was of age. Now, she said she first saw that tape of him with the underage girl, the alleged underage girl, because they
alleged.
Have never... Well, they've never, in fairness in court, identified the girl's age because she didn't testify, so they didn't know
that
how
was
old
a
she
kid.
Was.
Kid. We saw the video.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So, anyway, moving on, she talks about their first experience. She went to go see him in Denver, and they had oral sex with each other. She said that when he first walked in the room, she thought they were going to kiss or something, but instead he just sat on the bed and started masturbating. And then they had oral sex, and she said he was like a drill sergeant. Even when he was pleasuring me, he would tell her how to bend her back, move her leg there. It was just very directive. He would give her all kinds of directions on what to do.
Move your body like a snake, mama.
Right. Now, she said that he told her he would double her salary when she moved to Chicago for quitting her job, but he also warned her that he does have close relationship with women. He said, "I have friends and I have girls I've raised." I don't know what he meant by raised at the time. He said, "I eventually want you to meet them, but I want to make sure you're mentally ready." Now, she said she had to ask for permission for everything. Even if she wasn't with him, she would have to text him, "Daddy, I need to go to the restroom." So any little move that she made, she had to send that information to him. Now, she said when she did ask him about that sex tape with the child pornography trial, he said, "Bitch, don't you ever effing accuse me of something like that." He had never spoken to me like that before. And when she did see him, he kicked her multiple times and open-handed slapped her in the face while she repeatedly apologized. She felt bad about it. She said she never should have pushed him.
What do you mean she felt bad about it? He should feel bad for peeing on a little girl. What is she talking about?
She said felt bad about it for even asking him or questioning him. Now, she talks about she also went on tour with him, and when she was on tour, she was actually part of the show. She said he would bring her on stage. Two men dressed in white lab coats made her sign a waiver on stage and chain her arms inside of a white cage. And then R. Kelly would enter the cage as there was a sheet draped over it, and the two of them would simulate oral sex. You could just see their silhouette. And then that was it. He said, "I've never paraded around anybody before. I'm going to make sure people see us together." And that's when people started recognizing her on YouTube and things like that. And that's when other women were introduced. Now, she said she had never seen him. She thought they were in a monogamous relationship. She didn't know he had other women, but then he moved her into another studio, and he would try to make sure the women didn't interact with each other. So they weren't even allowed to leave their rooms without asking for permission first. And they weren't allowed to talk to each other. They weren't allowed to have any interactions with each other until later on when he started bringing other women around and then would force them to have sex with each other. And she said at one point she never really wanted to. One point she actually threw up after being forced to perform oral sex on another woman.
Ugh, how did that smell?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
So eventually she did leave. She said she wanted to go home and see her son. She left and did not come back and only took a suitcase with sweats. She wasn't allowed to wear heels or any type of fancy clothes, so she didn't want him to know that she wasn't coming back, so she left.
Well, here's the thing. We know R. Kelly is a sexual predator, right? Mm-hmm. But why do people still allow him to prosper? Like, you see people like Harvey Weinstein get shut down. You see people like Bill Cosby get shut down. Why do y'all still continue to go to R. Kelly's shows? Why do y'all still continue to buy his albums? Why does he seem to have rape repellent?
I don't know. I mean, listen, it's a very confusing thing.
It makes no sense to me. Like, why does everybody get labeled as a sexual predator and get their careers destroyed except for R. Kelly? What type of voodoo or roots does he have over him?
And, you know, just as some facts, they also have as information in this article, of course, we should know when he was 17, he married 15-year-old Aaliyah. And then in 1996, he was sued for $10 million by Tiffany Hawkins, who was an aspiring vocalist. She said she first began having sex with him when she was 15. And there were other women, too, that he settled lawsuits with.
He wrote a song for Aaliyah called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. Okay, he called himself the Pied Piper.
This is very disturbing.
All right, the Pied Piper played a whistle and led kids out of a small town never to be seen again. All right, we've seen the video. Y'all can say allegedly he got off not guilty, whatever. But for whatever reason, R. Kelly seems Teflon. He is the Donald Trump of R&B. Like, no matter what he does, people still go to his concerts, still support his music. Why? I don't understand it.
And all these women are now coming forward talking about their experiences with him. All right. I just wanted to give you
this
guys the footnotes.
Man.
It's a very long article, a lot of information, and it's very descriptive. All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Listen, man, we need to talk about plagiarism. Okay. We need to talk about stealing. All right. We need to talk about just straight up thievery. All right. It's a young lady named Kimberly Sanchez from Long Beach, California. She has a restaurant called Sweet Dixie Kitchen. She needs to come to the front of the congregation because we would like to have a word for her with her. Because I would not stand for, you know, great black institutions in the community to be stolen from. Okay.
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 All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang, dunk it utter shame. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, it's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Wow, Ed Sheeran. Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, October 24th goes to Kimberly Sanchez. Now, you don't know who Kimberly Sanchez is, but she is the owner of a restaurant in Long Beach, California called Sweet Dixie Kitchen. Now, for the last 4 years, Kimberly has been serving up breakfast and lunch at her restaurant, and she claims that most of her stuff is made from scratch. Well, a customer left a review on Yelp basically saying, that's a lie. Sweet Dixie Kitchen don't make everything from scratch. You know how this customer knows they don't make everything from scratch? Mm. Because they saw them bring in the work from another restaurant into Sweet Dixie Kitchen. Not just any restaurant, okay, an institution in the black community, a place that I think about going to at least twice every 3 days. It takes extreme discipline not to go into this place, okay? Let's go to KABC Long Beach for the report.
For the last 4 years, Kimberly Sanchez has been serving up breakfast and lunch at her restaurant in Long Beach. But recently, one customer left soured on Sanchez's Sweet Dixie Kitchen after learning one of the newer dishes on the menu includes fried chicken from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, a nationwide fast food chain. The dish in question is called Pop's Chicken and Waffles on the menu. It sells for about $15. You can buy chicken at Popeye's for much less without the fixings Sanchez adds, but she's not apologizing. Sanchez said she sampled several other fried chicken options from restaurant vendors to add to her menu, and Popeye's was the best. She never thought serving it would be an issue.
Whoa. What you mean? I'm confused.
Sweet Dixie Kitchen is going to Popeye's Chicken and Negro Cookies, buying the work for the low, and then taking it back to their trap and tripling the price. Okay.
What?
Let me tell y'all something y'all may not know if you're not a Popeye's connoisseur. A two-piece chicken with a biscuit aside and a drink is $5.29 at Popeye's. $5.29. Sweet Dixie Kitchen is selling Popeye's chicken with a waffle for $15.
Wow.
Hold up. Let me be clear. Sweet Dixie Kitchen is selling Popeye's spicy tenders and a waffle for $15. A three-piece spicy tenders at Popeye's costs $5.79. And you get
Popeye's chicken is f***ing awesome.
And you get a side and a biscuit, okay?
Oh, wait, they had the Popeye's biscuit too?
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay? Kimberly Sanchez, who the hell do you think you are? Christopher Columbus? You're just going to act like you discovered something that you didn't discover? You're just going to pass something off as yours when you know damn well you're not the originator of that spicy tender? Al Copeland, founder of Popeye's, is rolling over in his grave. Would you like to hear what Kimberly Sanchez has to say for herself? Let's go back to KABC Long Beach for the report, please.
Most of my stuff from here is made from scratch. I make biscuits every morning. We make pastries.
Okay, you can stop right there for a second.
I bet Popeye's biscuits still better.
First of all, you really want me to believe that y'all stealing chicken from Popeye's but making your own biscuits from scratch?
Mm-mm.
Kimberly, there's nothing about you that says you know how to make biscuits from scratch, okay? I seen you on the video. All right, you don't have enough veins in your hands to make biscuits from scratch, right? My grandma made biscuits from scratch. All the time, you know, you have to have a certain amount of veins in your hands to make biscuits from scratch, okay? Furthermore, if you're stealing the chicken from Popeye's, I know you're stealing the nigga cookies. All right, the biscuits at Popeyes are amazing. Put a little jelly on it with some honey, all right?
Popeyes chicken is the shiznit.
You are terrible with the drop. Kimberly, you probably don't even give your customers jelly, okay? You give them jam, all right? Preservatives, all right? Bring me some damn grape jelly and call it a day. And you giving your hipster-ass customers who come to Sweet Dixie Chicken, you know, Popeyes biscuits, you're going to mess around and kill them, all right? If you're not used to eating Popeyes biscuits, you can easily choke on one, all right? I dare you to eat a whole Popeyes biscuit without taking a sip of a cold beverage in between bites. You can't because you'll probably die. What else Kimberly Sanchez had to say?
I love Popeye's chickens. I love it. I think it's the best chicken out there.
Well, you should open Popeye's.
Exactly. If you love Popeye's so much, close Sweet Dixie Chick Kitchen down and open up a Popeye's then. Okay, you love Popeye's so much that you steal it and sell it back to people for triple the price?
That's crazy.
You think because on the menu you put Pop's chicken and waffles that it's okay? Pop's can be anybody. I see Pops on someone's menu. I'm thinking you got a signature dish for your father. Let me hear Kimberly Sanchez keep digging her grave.
My kitchen is not set up for frying. We're an old building. I don't actually have a proper kitchen back there.
You can't fry chicken?
So what are you making back there? You don't have a proper kitchen.
If you don't have a proper kitchen back there, then why is it called Sweet Dixie Kitchen? It should actually be called Sweet Dixie Kitchenette, okay? This is disgusting. What's the final thing Kimberly Sanchez had to say about Popeye's?
We didn't do anything wrong. I did something I thought was the best product I could bring in anywhere.
That's great.
Except it wasn't your product.
Kimberly Sanchez, those tears are trash.
She passed it off as her own.
Okay, you need to take those trash-ass tears and make them a main ingredient in your own chicken recipe. Not Popeye's chicken recipe, your own. Why the hell should we cry for you when you're the one stealing? What kind of reverse psychology Jedi mind tricks are you trying to play on people? You the one who out here perpetrating a fraud. You buying Popeye's chicken and trying to pass it off as your own. You lip syncing in the kitchen, Kimberly. Your mouth moving, but that is not your voice. You inconsolable because you stealing from Popeye's, bringing it back to your restaurant and tripling the price. You had the nerve to say you did nothing wrong? If you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. How you mad at people because you got caught? This is chicken appropriation. Okay, this is why the Colonel is the face of Kentucky Fried Chicken right now. You really believe that white man came up with that original style chicken recipe? Please. The Colonel did the same thing Kimberly Sanchez doing. Stole that chicken from someone and put his name on it. I can't prove that, so back to Kimberly. Kimberly Sanchez, listen to me and listen good. A thief is a thief. Doesn't matter if they stealing a diamond or Popeye's spicy chicken tenders. Please give Kimberly Sanchez the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones, please.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey of the day. Yee-haw.
Listen, for those who go to Sweet Dixie Kitchenette, just go to Popeye's. All right, if you think those secondhand spicy tenders you eating at Sweet Dixie Kitchenette good, then wait till you get them fresh out the box from Popeye's, man. Life changing.
With the biscuit.
Oh, wow. All right.
What, that's effed up. What white man? Why do you got your hand up, Steve? What?
He wants to know what an end cookie is. He wants to know what a cookie is.
You're just trying to be funny. Stop it. What is don't worry about what end cookies
it's
are.
It's a biscuit.
You worry about crackers. You want some crackers? Huh? I got some crackers for you. Don't worry about the biscuits. Would you like some crackers?
My goodness.
Huh? You want some saltine crackers?
I like saltines.
Okay.
But how long is the business? How long has it been in business?
What?
Sweet Dixie's. How long has that been in business?
I have no idea.
Not as long as
Popeye's. Well, I guess 4 years because they said it's been around. They said she's been doing this for 4 years.
She's been rigging it up, boy.
That's a damn shame.
That's foul, but
it's
kind of genius.
It's
she
not
did.
Actually
she,
genius. She it's actually not genius.
Cooked. She just got caught.
It's
all right.
Genius.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Up next, Keisha Cole will be joining us. We'll kick it with Keisha Cole when we come back. I don't want to say Keisha Cole from Love & Hip Hop, but Keisha Cole from Love & Hip Hop.
No, that's not who she is.
This
singer.
This is a good segue.
Let's not forget she had her own show before that.
This is a good segue. I like Keisha, though. But as soon as you said that and me just talking about Popeyes, I keep thinking about that meme that said Keisha and Carrie was outside of Beyonce's show selling chicken dinners. Or was it fish dinners? Maybe it was fish.
Oh, my goodness. All right. When we come back, Keisha Cole is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Who looks amazing this morning?
Keisha Cole.
Thank you. Thank you. I got dressed for you all.
I walked in the bathroom and Keisha was in there, but I ain't get to see nothing, though.
Oh my God.
Why were you in her bathroom?
You didn't lock the door. The girls were helping me pull my shirt. Just like, you know, I have big, you know, breasts. So yes. Sometimes, and he walked in, but he didn't see anything.
I ain't seen nothing. And as soon as I closed the door, I was like, damn.
You're like, I should have stayed a second longer.
I know she was in there, but you know.
Hey, might as well. A vibe. So 11-11 Reset is out now.
Yes, thank you guys for being so supportive.
And last time you were here, we were talking Love and Hip Hop and all of that. And then you really are on Love and Hip Hop
now. She didn't confirm last time, though, did she?
No. She didn't really confirm. She said that they were in talks, though.
Right, in talks. What made you do Love and Hip Hop?
Mona cut the check.
Well, not only that, but I felt that it was a great platform to showcase the music and, you know, just be a good driver for the album.
So, Keisha, you know I watched the Love and Hip Hop reunion last night, and I saw you perform Incapable. Loved it.
Thank you.
And clearly you wrote that song about some real-life situation.
Of course. The whole album is pretty much, yeah, it's personal.
How did Boobie feel when he heard that song? Because he had to feel like she's talking about me.
I don't know. I didn't ask.
No, I'm serious. Because you guys are still cool. Like,
yeah, of course.
At least on TV, he lives in your house with you.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how did that work? Because y'all weren't together, but y'all living in the same house?
He was going through some things, and it was worrying me that, you know, he wasn't going to be able to spend as much time with DJ as was necessary to have spent with him. And I just didn't agree with that. And I just was like, dude, it's all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just mind your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get along.
That's very mature. Because it's hard for people to, you know, you watch him date somebody else.
Yeah,
and
of course.
He comes to you for advice with Brooke Valentine.
Yeah.
And that's awkward.
Even me, when I'm watching it, it feels awkward. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, thank God that all those emotions are gone. Like, I don't feel anything.
Jeez.
So that's, I mean, I pray for that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because, I mean, there was times that I would really wonder why and ask myself, like, is it you? What's going on here? You know, but then I just realized that, you know, with me or without me, you're still going to be a slucket.
A slucket? What,
a slucket bucket.
A slucket bucket.
Okay.
No, you know, I mean, that's jokingly, but seriously joking. You know, you just have to realize that. It's like, listen, man, hey, no hard feelings. You know, it happened the way it happened. Everything happens for a reason.
I think that Boobie's a poor decision maker. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, when he came here last time and he told us he was quitting NBA for rap, I told him that was the worst thing that he could possibly even think of.
Oh, he came after I came that time?
Now, he was up here one time by himself. Let's flash back to that moment.
I think a lot of people don't understand what I'm doing right now.
Mm.
Nobody would tell me, look, you got $1 million over here. Go do this.
Because the headline sounds crazy. Boobie Gibson leaves the NBA to start a rap career. You're like, yeah. What? For what?
Yeah, so to me, that just shows you the love and the passion for me to be able to do that and be okay with what anybody got to say about me doing it and still pursue it. To me, that should tell you just how passionate I am about what I'm doing right now.
I heard that interview and I was like, you know, you can't stop somebody's dreams of what they feel like they want to pursue in their lives. Like, you know, more power to you. But when God, like, gave you a platform to be able to do, you know, what you wanted to do, it's like, I mean, I think you're looking at it, like you said, to me, it's the same. It is.
And he could have promoted both. You see what Damian Lillard does? He could have been on the court and rapping at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
She's like, look, that's his decision.
Yeah, and I can't, you know, like I always say, he's always going to be my family. So, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. You are growing up. I would never
everybody
expect
can say this.
I
everywhere
I would never
I
expect this from you happy. This is crazy. This is
when
this
I
is
used
crazy.
To seeing you happy.
That's crazy. But I've been knowing, like, all y'all for, like, years. So, I assume you guys could see it. But I'm like, really? And everywhere I went, I was like, that is so amazing. Just thankful for that. Like, I really did pray for that, though. Because, really, to be on that show with Gib and look at all the things that, like, you're doing. And, like, you know, it's his personal business. But, like, even you guys should check out the reunion. Because I think he said something like, oh, yeah, I'm single now. I could do what I want. I was like, sir, you were doing all of this while you were married, though.
Right.
Man.
What's like, different? Stop. Like, this is no different.
And he really pursued you heavy. Like, why do
and was asking and saying it was a God thing, and God said, and God is this, and God. And it was just to a point where I was like, okay, you know what? You can't keep using God.
Right.
Like, this is not
you're
going
to go to hell if you keep watching.
It's interesting, because I've seen the exact opposite of my life. Like, I think that when you do right by your wife and you do right by your family, greater things happen.
Greater things
absolutely.
Happen. I mean, there was times we went through that, too. But, you know, I'm just happy that we're finally going through with the divorce and everything is, you know, it's just going to be an outcome. It's like, okay, it's over. You know, like, we, you know, it's over. And I'm happy to know that finally, you know, it's just.
Now, he can come to you, right, and talk about women. But when you go to him, and talk about guys that you're dating. It seems
wasn't
like
that crazy?
He still has an issue with that. You can give him advice, and he has no problem talking to you.
Because men feel like that's always our especially when we got a baby.
Absolutely not, though. No, like, no.
That's hard. You can't, that's,
because
be
you know what?
One.
I mean, I understand that frame of mind because for a few years, like, I would just run back to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just easy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then after, like, I was like, okay, this is going to really seriously damage my son. Mm-hmm. Because, like, every time I go back, I'm getting more upset. I'm crying in front of, it got to the point I was crying in front of DJ. Like, and right. I was just like, you know what? No. It ain't the ain't worth it. I'm sorry. It's just not worth it. It's not. You know, it's like, come on, we got to grow up here. You know, bottom line, putting my foot down on that.
All right, we got more with Keisha Cole when we come back. Matter of fact, let's get into a joint. It's called Ride. It's new Keisha Cole. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Ride, or Keisha Cole's new album. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Keisha Cole is here. Charlamagne?
What have you been studying? What is it? Like, what book did you read? Like, is it meditation?
It's the
like,
Bible,
what,
bro.
Like, what is it that
it's
this
the Bible,
got you?
Bro.
It's the Bible, bro. I'm spiritually grounded.
No. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's just been in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just over it. Just like over it.
And I'm happy too, because you usually, you're known for beating a bitch's ass. And when I heard you was going to be on Love & Hip Hop, I said, oh my goodness.
She known goodness. For beating up girls?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I don't think that's what she's known for.
No, not known for that, but she would beat a bitch's ass.
I mean, wilding out, but I've never heard of Keisha actually physically putting hands on someone.
Well, I'm doing Wilding Out on Wednesday, I think. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Good segue.
There's a, you know, 11-11 reset is in stores now. Mm-hmm. Super excited. I really appreciate you guys for, you know, always having me and always being supportive.
Is Boobie on child support?
For like me paying him or him
like
paying
you pay
me?
Him. Damn, you gotta pay him?
I don't know what's happening these days.
You gotta pay spousal support?
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm gonna.
They're still
do.
Married.
Does he pay you for
no,
the
you're
child?
Are you not divorced yet?
Yeah, we filed for divorce.
But you're not divorced yet?
No, it takes 60 days.
Right.
And then it'll be.
Mm-hmm. Is he trying to stop it ever? Like, let's not do it? Has he come back and been like, come on, can we work this out?
No, not this time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm really excited.
Right.
Yeah, this is a very exciting time, and to be alive, you know, it's just like, it's not even like, I'm trying to say it's a bad deal. Like, I'm really excited that we're finally, both of us, able to, like, get over this and be like, yo, let's just start afresh. Let's start anew. It's different, but let's go for it, because it's not going to work between us.
You think having your biological father back helped, like, bring some stability to your life?
Mental, spiritually, yes, of course. Yeah, he's so, like, mentally, like, I mean, he's just an intelligent guy, and he knows a lot about the Bible as well, and he's very grounded, and his house is amazing, and his car is amazing, his wife is amazing, you know, it's just like, I can't believe what I just, like, how this is happening, and I, like, it's just crazy.
Did you realize that we were missing something this whole time?
Of course. I mean, you know, not knowing what that piece of you really is. You know, I was just going to go on Ancestors.com, just going to rap. But then I was like, you know, I mean, him being blessed, you know, me being blessed with him in my life, finally, I was able to look at family members and actually identify finally with people that I felt like, oh, my God. We have the same eyes. Like, I have a picture of all my aunts I was looking at. I know they probably thought I was weird because I was just, like, staring at them at the barbecue. I've never seen, like, people that I look like ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, me and they say my mom and I used to look like when she was younger. But, you know, to finally see that, I was just, like, so just in awe about it. So, I mean, all of it all coming together is so amazing for me.
How's your mom doing?
It's been a little while since I've spoken to her. Mm-hmm. She kind of made me upset.
Why?
It was like a whole big thing a while ago. And actually, they were trying to get her to get on Love & Hip Hop, but I was just like, you know, no, you know, like, it's just not that time. Like, right. You know, I've done that before, and she promised she would get better, and it's not for people to see like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my whole thing was, like, her getting better and actually changing. But, like, this time it's just like, no, I'm not doing that, you know? And I had her out there, and I was actually going to try to, like, clean her up a bit, you know, like, get her all nice, get her dolled up and everything. Mm-hmm. She just ran off. Mother's Day. Just ran off. I got me all in the streets looking for her. I'm all in L.A. I'm, like, running through the streets, like, with an Uber. The Uber, like, I've been through this. Like, rolling up. So I'm like, you need to come on. Like, get in the car. Like, literally, like.
She back on drugs, though?
I mean, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know. Like, she was, you know, there. She was in Skid Row. But my thing was more so, like, it just hurt me. It was Mother's Day. You know what I'm saying? And you disappeared when my child was looking. And then on top of that, it just was like, I was crying to her. I said, Ma, I feel like one day I'm going to come looking for you and I ain't going to find you. And then she was like, oh, you'll be all right. And I'm just like, I need a break.
Do you have resentment towards, like, I mean, your father's back in your life now, but did you have resentment for him not being there all these years? And do you have, like, resentment to your mom for?
Oh, no. No. And that was so scary, I think, for my father, because he was, like, he was looking at me like, what is she going to say? Like, how is she going to react? And I was just like, I'm so blessed to have you. Like, you know, whatever happened before is not, we don't have to worry about today, what we can do about today, and how much we can grow and learn each other and, you know, start with today. Like, we're not going to worry about yesterday. Don't worry about that. Like, the only thing that, like, you need to worry about is the fact that God had me this whole entire time. Trust me.
You know what's amazing is that I feel like people could relate to the feeling in your music so much more because we know you. Like, we know a lot of really personal things about you that I'm sure it's hard for you to put out there.
No, it's not hard.
Okay.
Well, it's a blessing.
Good. But I feel like we know you, and that's why you can listen to the music and be like, okay, I feel what she's talking about, and I know she went through this, and that's why she's saying this. And it's a lot more.
It's honesty and trust with my aunt. Yeah. Because you, like, I feel that too, actually. And it's a blessing to be able to be something that somebody can say, okay, you know, I can do this. I can do this. And the backlash and everything could never equate to somebody walking up to me and saying, yo, you helped me change my life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can deal with all the hate and the backlash behind it, honestly.
You think how do you feel about love now and opening up? Do you think that it's going to be damn near impossible for another man to come along and sweep you off your feet?
Or is there another man?
Aha.
Yeah, she all said right. That like she had an orgasm last night.
No, I wish. No, but no, not that soon. Yeah, I mean, sort of, yeah. There is somebody. But, you know, it's a slow, like, kind of, like, you know, procedure, like, with the whole getting to know each other thing and just, like, you know, it takes time.
Now, do people, like, okay, you're dating somebody new now, right? And it's in the beginning stages. Do they get mad if they see you, like, hanging out with Floyd Mayweather? And they're like, what's this about? I don't want you around.
No, I don't think so because, you know, me and Floyd are not together. That's a friend of mine.
But guys still get insecure about
being... Well, that's not cool. Especially if you're just friends because, you know, guys have friends.
Yeah, but everybody's friend has not generated over $1 billion. Okay?
It's not Floyd. Not gives up gifts like Birkin bags.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't give me Birkin bags, so there's no need to fret over that.
He's giving you a gift, I'm sure, though.
Of course.
What is he giving you? what has Floyd gotten you, Keisha?
It's crazy.
Some jewelry, maybe? Something that cranks up?
Push start.
See, that's exactly why you don't want your woman hanging around Floyd goddamn Mayweather.
But look, if you're
now somebody's like, what the hell did he buy her?
I'm not anyone's woman, though.
They're just talking. They're getting to know each other.
But if you're dating someone and he's like, you let Floyd give you a gift?
I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that.
Take the gift from Floyd or what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no, that's, I don't, you know,
If I was Floyd, I'd test that. I'd wait till you start dating somebody and see you a Bugatti.
Yeah.
See if you don't take it. See what you're going to do now.
He wouldn't do that. No, he wouldn't.
That's
not how he is. That's another
conversation. All right, well, there you have it. It's Keisha Cole. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What's happening? Good morning.
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Nicki Minaj's brother.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Let's go, Yee!
Well, let's talk about Jelani Mirage's ongoing trial. Now, that's Nicki Minaj's brother. Now, the 10-year-old boy who walked in on his sister allegedly being raped by Nicki Minaj's brother, says he knew what he witnessed wasn't right. But he says that Jelani Mirage threatened him to keep his mouth shut. He said, what happened was I was looking for her. He was talking about his 11-year-old sister. She was 11 at the time. And he said, my pencil broke. I didn't have any others. He was 8 at the time, the young boy. He said, when he walked in, he said his sister's pants were around her ankles and Jelani Mirage's underwear was close to his knees. He said, I thought it wasn't right. It looked weird to me, so I ran upstairs. That's when the 10-year-old boy testified that Jelani Mirage later found him and slapped him in the face about 10 times. He asked me if I had seen anything. I said yes. He said he slapped me on the cheek and threatened that he wouldn't see his mother again if he told on him. Now, he also said his bedroom was right next to his sister's and said he would hear his door close at night and then his sister's bed creaking. So according to prosecutors,
that's crazy, man.
They are saying that Jelani Mirage had sex with the little girl who is now 14 as often as 4 times a week. Now, Jelani Mirage's defense is saying that these allegations were made up by the mom in a $25 million extortion plot against Nicki Minaj, who is expected to testify as well. So,
testify about what, though?
I guess to say that they asked for
that
$25
she was being
million.
Extorted and that this story was made up. According to Nicki Minaj and her brother, Jelani Mirage, they're saying that the mother told Nicki she could make the charges go away if she was paid $25 million.
Oh, just because, you know, you're trying to extort somebody doesn't mean that it didn't happen, though.
It's not true, yeah. I pray that didn't happen to an 11-year-old. Like, there is no way in
hell.
I thought
she was 14.
She's 14 now.
But it's 11 when it allegedly happened. There is no way that Nicki should support him if it did happen. I'm hoping that it's all fabricated.
Right. So we don't know yet. This trial has just started. So the prosecution is saying that they can say with a reasonable degree of certainty that the girl's medical exam can prove penetration.
By the way, that's why people don't take things to trial. Because that first, what you just described just now, is like, Jesus Christ. You're supposed to settle. Now, it's just that those stuff don't come out.
Harvey Weinstein's ex-assistant says that he sexually harassed her for years.
Oh, my God.
Zelda Perkins. She was one of at least 8 alleged victims that reached a settlement. She signed a non-disclosure, but now she's coming forward and saying she doesn't care about that anymore. She wants to break her silence, and she talks about working with him. And the very first day, she said, is when the sexual misconduct began. She said he went out of the room, came back in his underwear. He asked me if I could give him a massage. Then he asked if he could massage me. Now,
I bet you he would wear big white drawers, too. Big white cotton Fruit of the Looms.
Tidy Whiteys.
Yes.
Now, she and a colleague split a $330,000 settlement back in 1998. That's when they signed that agreement to not speak about it. But she said she is publicly breaking her non-disclosure agreement. Unless somebody does this, there won't be a debate about how egregious these agreements are and the amount of duress that victims are put under. So, you know, she did get her settlement, and that's that. And I guess, I don't know if she has to give that back now. Now, Matt Damon and George Clooney have also come forward saying that Harvey Weinstein was a jerk. A lot of people have said that. Lin-Manuel Miranda said that when he was up here as well. And so did, who else just said that when they were up here? Oh, Maury Povich, was it? Said that he was just, they heard that he was very rude and nasty to people. Here is what Matt Damon said.
You had to spend about 5 minutes with him to know that he was a bully, he was intimidating. That was his legend, you know, could you survive a meeting with Harvey? So when people say, like, everybody knew, like, yeah, I knew he was and I knew he was a womanizer, but this level of criminal sexual predation is not something that I ever thought was going on.
Now, Matt Damon continues to say this on Good Morning America about Gwyneth Paltrow.
I was working with Gwyneth, with Harvey, you know, on Ripley. I never talked to Gwyneth about it. Ben told me, but I knew that they had come to whatever agreement or understanding that they had come to. She had handled it, and she was, you know, the first lady of Miramax, and he treated her incredibly respectfully.
They all sound like such hypocrites. Like, oh, I knew, but I didn't know, and I knew
this, but I
didn't.
But what he's saying is they didn't know that he was doing anything criminal.
What do you mean? Being an a-hole and being a womanizer? Like, they knew. Like, they all were partaking in it in some way, shape, or form, I guarantee.
Now, here's what George Clooney had to say.
Harvey would talk to me about women that he'd had affairs with. I didn't necessarily believe him, quite honestly, because to believe him would be to believe kind of the worst of some actresses who were friends of mine. And I didn't really think that they were going to have affairs with Harvey, quite honestly, and clearly they didn't. But the idea that this predator was out there silencing women, it's beyond infuriating.
All right, saw what happened to Ben Affleck last week. Soon as he jumped out the window trying to play holier than now.
Somebody jumped out,
was
yeah.
coming out with stories about them. Matt Damon and George Clooney better hope they really, really clean. If your face ain't as clean as you portray, and somebody's going to let us know.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, let's get this mix on. Let me know your favorite Drake joint. Today is Drake's birthday, so we're going to get on some Drake joints.
It's a national beige holiday.
We'll get some joints on and get your requests in, and whatever your favorite Drake joint is, we'll get on. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.